That Quail, Robert, by Margaret Stanger, Hodder and Stoughton, 1966, Chapter 8, I Learn. Lord God, I need to learn more and more daily your goodness, of your mercy, of your justice, all that you do, Lord God, that you make things right. And you are returning as a judge to make all things right forever and ever. So we give you thanks for your goodness and all your rightness. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know how a quail drinks dew? I do. Do you know the unvarying technique of a dirt bath? No, I do. Do you know what sort of insect a quail rejects and what kind of seed a quail cannot manage? I do. Robert's refusal to stay out in the patio without me proved a great boon. Not only did I get a great deal of reading and hand sewing done, but my eyes were continually being opened to facts I did not know, to which I had never given a thought. On several mornings, she and I were ensconced while the grass was still wet with heavy dew. Since it was impossible to have the grass mown inside the enclosure, it had grown to a length of 5 or 6 inches within a very few weeks. All of us had seen grass sparkling with dew. The poets have written about it and singers have sung about it, but I wonder how many have really looked at those sparkles. I found that the drops usually form on the blade of grass where it has started to bend over. Because of gravity, I suppose there is almost always a drop or two further along toward the tip of the blade. I had never known or noticed that a blade of grass is grooved, amounting almost to a lengthwise centerfold. Robert always walked around seeking out the most productive blades, then, starting at the lower pointed end of the blade, she opened her bill and ran the lower mandible up its entire length, scooping up the drops as she went. Then she would stand back and swallow. If she had enough water to make it an especially big swallow, a tiny droplet was often left on the tip of her bill. This was always shaken off, and I have seen those droplets fly through the air a distance of 3 or 4 feet. She drank much more water that way than she did from her own dish. And I wish I knew whether it tasted better than tap water or whether she had inside knowledge that she had better make time while it was available. Since we were always out there on sunny mornings and the dew was gone very quickly, morning after morning, I watched, often down on my knees with my head a matter of inches from hers so that I could observe the process. I suppose all birds do this, but I had not known it. I have seen that she showed real discrimination as to insects. Ants, flies, and occasional mosquitoes were her preferences. If I moved the stump, exposing grubs underneath, she would start toward them, but would stop about 3 feet from them, knowing they were not good to eat. She would get away from a wasp as fast as possible, but I watched her catch 2 honeybees. In each case, the bee was on a geranium blossom, and Robert attacked it tail end first. In each case, she ate the soft body part, leaving the rest. If I saw a spider before she did, a few quick taps on the ground brought her running at full speed. Sometimes I would see a little spider high on a wall or on a ceiling. Since the ceiling in all these old Cape Cod houses are low, I could always hold her up, and she would get it in one quick flash. A friend once brought her an angleworm, which I thought she would like, but she would have none of it. I tried her on angleworms several times, to no avail. However, she did relish small inchworms. She was equally discriminating about her bath. I did not know that quail never bathe in water. They want dirt. One of Robert's admirers thought she ought to have a sandbox and went to a great deal of trouble to get sand. Someone told her that it should not be seashore sand because of the salt. So she tried without success to wash and rewash some sand till it was free of salt. It didn't work. One day, she saw a lovely pile of clean sand where some construction work was going on and begged a shoeful box of it. We fixed it up in a flat wooden box, and it looked most enticing to me. Robert, always curious about anything new, walked in it, scratched it a time or two, and then walked off completely uninterested. She wanted dirt, and she wanted dirt with a slight damp. Her choice was dirt in the geranium bed, soft on top and a bit damp as she worked down into it. The bath technique never varied. With just her feet, she first loosened up the soil until she had a little hollow. Then, with the loose dirt around her, she went to work to throw it all over herself. She would work first with her head, which she would put down so that the side of her face was in the dirt, throwing it back and over her, first on one side, then on the other. When she was in a little deeper, the wing work began. How she could make it fly with those wings, working from one side to the other. In a short while, she would have a hole large enough to accommodate almost her entire body. Also, by this time, she was beginning to get tired. She would then lie on her side, making little convulsive, jerky motions, and the last stage of the process to push both feet against the side of the hole, seeming to be rubbing her back against the opposite side. Then came the most amazing part of it all. If I had not seen it before seeing it at my home, I would have been terrified. But after she had had enough, she would stand up and actually stagger out onto the grass. She looked and acted like a drunken person. She would fall from side to side, get up, fall again until she regained her equilibrium, or perhaps until she was rested. Then watch out. Then came the shaking. I learned to wait until she had shaken 3 times before disturbing her or taking her indoors. I made a big mistake one day when a sudden shower came while she was in the staggering stage. I hurriedly took her in and put her on the drop leaf table, both of whose leaves were open at the time, fortunately. Well, such is a mess as I had. She shook and shook twice more. Then I went to work. I brushed the dirt into a little heap on the table, and by actual measurement, I took up 2 tablespoonfuls of it. How much more there was on the floor, on the windowsill, and on me, I do not know. But there was a lot. It was my own fault, so I cleaned it up uncomplainingly. Tommy had told me that after a bath, especially if it were the least bit cool, she wanted to be held. This I had to learn for myself, as I had been inclined to discount it a bit. She made her desire known at such times by backing up and pushing against my ankle, talking all the time until I picked her up. She would cuddle in my lap with both my hands around her so that just her head showed, and there she would stay for about 10 minutes. She even shivered a little at first. Once warm and rested, she was off about her business. Her fear of birds never failed to arouse my sympathy. If any bird, even a little chickadee, flew over the patio, no matter how high above the top it might be, she gave a little cry, fluffed up, and flattened herself against the grass. If she were near enough to a geranium to dart under it, she did so. She never got over this fear. When I was studying advanced psychology in college and university, so-called experts were casting doubts on instinct. If I had accepted the idea then, which I did not, I certainly would have rejected it now. What else could this fear have been but the instinctive fear of the hawk? I understand that mother quails have been seen and heard warning the brood that a hawk is overhead. At such times, the babies scurry into underbrush and the mother flattens and freezes. But Robert never had such parental instruction. What would you call it if not instinct? And what told her that an earwig, ugly, repulsive-looking insects as they are, must not be eaten? Something told her. What made her turn away from her little glass of orange juice even without even dipping her bill in it when it was the least bit soured? When she did this, I often picked up the glass and smelled it. There was no odor as far as I could detect. If I tasted it, I always found that it was a tiny bit rancid. When offered fresh juice, she drank lustily. One morning, I forgot to replace the little glass with a fresh one. She went to it several times until finally I caught on and got a fresh one. At once, she took 16 swallows as though she could never get enough. She did not take a mouthful, then hold her head back to let it run down as a chick does. She took perhaps 3 dips, waited a second or two, then swallowed audibly. Had she been larger and a bit more ferocious looking, she would have made a good watchdog. I could be engrossed in a book and know at once from her really loud calls that a car had turned in my driveway. Except for the flying birds overhead, she seemed to feel completely secure in her enclosure. One day, when I was sitting outside with her, buried in a book, my back to the wire because of the sun, I became aware that she was clucking in a tone rather like that she used when she had found a good spider. But with more to it, I turned, and to my horror, there she was, walking back and forth along her side of the wire, while safely on the other side sat not two, but three cats. One was flattened out with tail twitching, but the others were just sitting with their noses almost touching the wire. I saw at once that Robert was in no danger. One cat even put a paw tentatively through the mesh of the wire, disturbing Robert not at all. She had no instinctive fear of four-legged animals. As a matter of fact, she made friends with a dear little white French poodle who but used to come almost every day with his mistress. I knew him well, and he knew me in the house. We kept him on the leash all the time for the first week or so, but soon found out that Robert was not afraid of him and that he was merely interested in her because she moved. Occasionally, she would snuggle up beside him and lay there until he reached around and gently nudged her, wanting her to move. Toward the end of her stay with me, Robert developed an amusing game with the poodle. By the time he had lost all interest in her, moving or not, and since he was an old dog, he would settle down and go to sleep. He was most often in a spathcock position, front leg stretched out before him and hind leg stretched out behind him, lying on his stomach. But by now, she had assumed the role of the aggressor. Stalking around in back of him, with neck outstretched, she would get close to his rear end, select one white curl of his hair, then like a flash, grab it and give it a yank. That always galvanized Jackie, who leapt into the air, while Robert would retire delightedly, only to repeat the performance later. I wish I had more and better pictures of the two of them together, but as any photographer will tell you, it is very difficult to get the animal pictures you want. Later, Robert developed into a regular ham before a camera, apparently liking even flashbulbs. One event in her relations with animals is so incredible that I almost hesitate to record it. All I can say is that it is true in every detail. She was out one day with Tommy and Mildred while the doctor was weeding in their patio garden. Suddenly, a little rabbit, perhaps 1/4 grown, hopped into view. Robert took after him with the Keetzels following as best they could. She chased that poor little animal until it was so exhausted that it just collapsed, at which point Robert settled down right up against his warm fur. Finally, Mildred tapped on the ground and she came running to see what tidbit might be forthcoming, and she was taken back into the house. Her fear of birds did not extend to birds on the ground. Once in a while, even when I was sitting quietly in the patio, a little sparrow would come in through the wire to get some of the wild bird seed that was always there. At such times, Robert was not at all disturbed, and I've seen the two of them eating contentedly. Well, all that instinct, of course, is how God created these birds, these animals that he's made. And it's so much fun because the creativity that God had in giving us this world is the creativity and the beauty that we expect to see in the world when it's remade and without sin. So I love you guys. Have a great day.